T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's talk about the Cavs game from last night.
What happened?
So I liked the game. There was a part in the fourth quarter. I liked the game as an understatement. I loved the game. The game was awesome. But there was a part in the fourth quarter where I was thinking to myself, oh no, I got to come in here and I got to just rain on everybody's parade because the Cavs didn't get it done against the Nets team. And I know it's really hard in today's NBA to beat a team twice in 3 days.
Yeah, just, on their court.
On their court. It's not an easy task. And so I wasn't going to give them a pass. You can't lose to Brooklyn. You can't. Without Kyrie, without Durant, it's unacceptable. But in that fourth quarter, there was stretches there where I really thought they were going to lose. Then they came back. And then it was just a miraculous 3-4 minute stretch. We saw Okoro hit the three. And I'm not alone in this thought. And that's why I'm kind of scared of the thought that I had. Because I was talking to you and I was talking to Keith and you guys don't seem to agree with this at all, but I'm curious if some of the listeners do at 216-474-0092. When Donovan set up, he goes to the line for the two free throws. Now, I had betting purposes in play here. I had a Cavs money line bet in play, and I also at one point, because I saw the line was a little bit high, I took the under at 231.
What did the line end up at? Not the total, but the line.
No, well, the total is what I was playing with.
Okay, but you had the money line at, Mike, what?
I had the money line. 200? No, I got in at minus 135 because I got in when they were down about 4 in the...
Oh, you took it live. Okay.
I took it live, yeah. I took it. They were down about 4 in the late first quarter, early second quarter. So I got it at that point.
Okay.
And I thought it was a good quality bet. I'm like, they're down 4 right now, and I'm getting minus 135. It's pretty good.
There you go.
Against the Nets team, they should win. And then the actual total line... opened at 219, and in the fourth quarter with like 7 or 8 minutes left, it was at 231, and so I hopped on that as well. A rare double win by the Okoro play. So I had
sick to my stomach because I literally could have got in at plus 1,000 when they were down like 4 with like a minute and a half to go, and I just...
Oh, and you looked at it and saw it too?
I looked at it, I saw it.
Oh, those are the ones you fire on.
And I just didn't have the cojones.
We'll talk
do it
later on. I had a nice UCLA
all right, we'll talk
play
about
that
it.
I ended up using the
we
cash.
We'll talk about my bad beat last night.
I'd love to. We will.
Bad beat.
So anyway, so the Cavs, obviously, as we know, they come on back. And I'm thinking as it's a one-point game and Donovan's at the free throw line. He made the first free throw. In my mind, I am thinking with the idea of if he misses and they get the rebound and they hit a three, I get my Cavs money line bet. And I get my under at 231 because then the game would have ended at 230. So, like, and the gambling mind was in play here.
Yeah, but why did you need the three? You just needed a two.
Yeah, either one. Either it didn't matter. Two or three.
You need a bucket.
Honestly, I was thinking, well, get the bucket and go back. Yeah, you're right.
So, now this makes sense. Your mind was completely warped last.
That's what I'm trying to wonder because I'm talking to anybody else without the gambling purposes.
The reason you have this idea is... only gambling purposes.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Because I've been in this situation a million times where you need two things to happen. You're like, well, the only thing that has to happen here is they're going to have to hit a three, then they're going to have to foul, and he's going to have to hit one free throw, and then miss the
second. I been justifying it the entire way? Because now I'm in text threads, and I'm talking with people, and I'm...
Listen, your take on this before the show was outlandish. But now it all makes sense.
Let me lay it out for people then, and then you guys see if it's outlandish or not. Okay, so Donovan Mitchell's at the free throw. He's at the free throw line. He's made the first free throw. A second free throw would then tie the game. It would give the Nets the ball back with roughly 5 seconds left, and then they get an opportunity to win the game there or take the game into overtime. But the advantage would be on the Nets side right then and there. My thinking on this is that Donovan doesn't want to play overtime. Donovan also saw how this game had been going, where the Nets in the really the whole stretch of the game had been beating up on the Cavs. I mean, they had been. Oh, we have breaking news.
Yeah, the Browns are making a signing at wide receiver here. Signing Marquise Goodwin to a one-year deal, multiple reports.
All right, breaking news, 92.3 The Fan, presented by BetQL. Bet smarter by downloading the BetQL app and use Ohio25 to get 25% off your first month. We'll get to Donovan in just a little bit here, I guess. At somebody they had in earlier on in the week.
I thought once they traded for Elijah Moore, this would be done.
Yeah, I thought so too. He came in for the visit on Monday and Tuesday. I thought we were just... I'm right there with you. So what does this mean now? What does this mean for someone like Anthony Schwartz, I would imagine, is now... He's got to be really worried about his job.
I'd say severely worried about his job.
And this is what we've been talking about with Andrew Berry the entire... And I thought Dan Lobby brought this up with me not too long ago. I thought it was a great point. Like, this whole free agency has been him trying to erase his mistakes of the past. Maybe this is another inch towards that. Marquise Goodwin. Okay. From a stats perspective, from a player perspective, he is a little on the older side, right?
What is he, 32?
He's born November 19th, 1990. So he's not young. But that's okay.
He's younger than me.
That's okay. Well, yeah, he's younger than me too, but that's just going to be everybody at this point.
We're getting older.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen there. I don't see this as a bad thing at all. I feel more like he's a flyer than he is anything else. You're not building your offense around him. He had one really good season in 2017 in San Francisco. We had nearly 1,000 yards receiving. Mm-hmm. He's been around the 400, 300 mark since that point. He's never really put up amazing numbers. All right, let's talk about it. We'll talk about Marquise Goodwin. Yep. We'll talk about the new addition to the Cleveland Browns. What do you think about Marquise Goodwin?
Fine.
Fine?
Fine.
I want a little bit more energy than that. Give me a little bit more than fine.
The guy's a fine receiver.
You can give me some juice here. It's a Friday.
Listen, I think it's a good signing. What was the numbers on it?
The one-year deal.
Okay, so what's the big deal?
One-year deal. Doesn't cost you much. One year, he's 32.
He's a veteran player.
32 last year with the Seahawks.
He has been productive. He spent a lot of time in Buffalo early in his career.
That's right.
Former third round pick. Remember him in San Francisco when they had a little bit of a run. In fact, you mentioned his best year was 17. He had 962 and two touchdowns. Last year, actually had four touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things that this says. This says for sure they're not taking a wide receiver in the draft now. At least in the third round pick. Maybe you take one in the sixth round, someone like a Donovan Peoples-Jones type that you hope can become a DPJ down the line. Because it's still nice to have people under contract that are cheap and everything. But I think the third round or fourth round, I think a wide receiver there is out of the equation. Yeah. Which I've talked to a couple draft people. They actually say they really love the value of wide receivers in this draft in particular in the second and third round. I think it's fascinating that Andrew Berry was like, we're going to look elsewhere. We're going to find that on the street, essentially, as opposed to trying to find some of the value in the second and third round. Which, does that tell you, Dustin? Maybe I'm reading a little bit too much into this, but it's a Friday, so I think we can get away with it. Does that tell you Andrew Berry is starting to shift away from his belief in his own abilities to select wide receivers in the draft?
I think that's certainly a plausible question. I don't know that that's the case. I think when you look at the guys he selected recently, i.e., what, Schwartz and David Bell?
And Schwartz and Bell are the two that are going to hang over his head right now.
DPJ is good. Go on.
Bell is, it's sad, it's almost consider Bell almost like a lost soul because that shouldn't be the case. He just had 1 year last year. I still think he can be a good football player. He was the Big Ten receiver of the year in a conference that had Olave and Wilson.
We keep hanging on to that.
I do because it had to have mattered for something.
Yeah, I mean, he had
We know who's in that conference, though, is the point.
We do. But we also know that Purdue throws the football every down.
Yes, and I know you did some Purdue games.
Yeah, they had a really good quarterback.
Exactly right. But he was good.
Yeah, he was good.
He didn't do anything in rookie year, but he was good.
He still has a chance to be good in this league.
I think we can just kind of wave the white flag on that, right?
I mean, he's done.
Yeah.
Schwartz is done.
I thought Schwartz was done, honestly, with the Elijah
Moore
side.
May Schwartz be with you.
Oh, can we just retire that immediately?
I don't even know what it's from.
Well, though, no, the sad part is because of Jim Schwartz, people are going to keep bringing it back anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you mean you don't know what it's from?
No, I know. It's from Star Wars, right?
Yeah. No, it's Mel Brooks. It's Spaceballs.
Whatever.
Oh, no, 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 no.
May the Force be with you.
I was with you. I thought it was Star Wars. I thought it was May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you is Star Wars, but May the Schwartz be with you is literally from Spaceballs.
I've seen neither one of those movies.
Oh, no, I haven't seen Spaceballs either, if I'm just being truthful about it. So how does what is Schwartz in Spaceballs?
The Force. It's just a play on words. Like, cause,
may the Schwartz be with you?
Yeah,
is it just his way of saying it?
Well, he's...
It's a spoof.
Yeah, it's a spoof movie. Spaceballs is a spoof.
A spoof movie. I never seen it.
Why did he pick Schwartz?
I don't know.
Well, Mel Brooks he's Jewish, so he uses a lot of like Yiddish type words in his movies to like replace. I guess that
Schwartz Yiddish.
Kind of.
I have
like
a
schwitz.
I took
a schwitz. Yiddish.
I have a Jewish wife and a Jewish daughter. I don't know this one.
A schwitz.
Did you ask your daughter? Are you sure?
I'm schwitzing like crazy over here.
Have you done a schwitz?
You don't have to just do a schwitz. It's just like sweating immensely is schwitzing.
No, the whole deal though, the steak dinner and all the whole thing.
It's like a bathhouse.
Yeah.
No, I know. I know.
He knows what it is.
You can also just be walking outside sweating immensely and be like, I'm schwitzing like crazy out here.
I mean, you don't want to just go get naked with a bunch of guys and eat steak?
I would.
It sounds awesome.
I would. Well, I don't know if it sounds awesome. I can have a steak anywhere. It's fine. I don't need to be naked with a bunch of dudes that have a
drinking
steak.
Drinking beers.
But you know what's crazy?
What's that?
About Passover, obviously. And yeah. Passover is coming up in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
How much wine is associated with that event? They don't tell you these things.
How much wine?
Wine. Wine.
Okay, specify.
They get really drunk on wine. They drink a lot of wine. A lot of these Jewish ceremonies, but events.
You're now Jewish.
I know. I do all of them. I do all of them. You drink a lot of wine. A lot of wine.
You like that?
Nah, I'm not a big wine guy, to be honest. I don't like me being wine drunk. I don't. You know how you have different types of drunk with different alcohols? I think that's why I like scotch so much. I think I'm my best when I'm scotch drunk.
You're right. There are different buzzes.
I know.
Like tequila hits different.
Tequila hits different. I think even vodka hits different for myself.
It does. I think a beer buzz to me makes me happier.
Beer buzz is good. Always like a good beer buzz. You know, I never feel bad.
You never feel bad about having, you know, 9 Miller Lights.
I think I am. So I'm generally a pretty happy drunk.
Yeah. I'm not.
You know, oh, really?
Well, it depends.
This is why you got kicked out of the bar last week.
No, dude.
This is it. It's all unfolding.
Everyone around me, including myself, said I did nothing wrong.
I just don't buy it.
Okay.
I mean, I know you. I know you're non-confrontational, so I know you didn't start any fights or anything like that.
There was nothing. I may have been swaying.
You bobbing and weaving while being intoxicated, I bet probably looks way more intoxicated than it is.
Isn't that the idea of Nashville? Like, everyone in the bar is intoxicated?
Yeah, I mean, you should know where you're at.
I mean, I was aware of my surroundings.
No, I mean, like, the bouncers should know where they're at.
I know, but what did I do that made them be
it's like having drinks on the Vegas Strip, and all of a sudden they're copying,
looking at me
like what
I
are
was
you doing?
Teetering
like,
on no. becoming a problem.
Yeah, like, this is what
they're
you
like,
come
let's
here
get
for.
Him out of here before he becomes a problem.
This place is built on the idea of people like me coming here.
They swooped in, man, and swiftly took me down the back door.
You know, at night.
The fire escape.
At night, we talked about, like, I went through like all the different places, and I couldn't remember ever being kicked out of a bar. I've been to a million bars. I've never once gotten kicked out.
I've been way drunker.
I told a whole story about me being at the casino one time, where I spilt drinks on the felt, which is, like, the number one sign that they need to get rid of you immediately.
100%.
Like, you are too far gone. If you're spilling drinks on the roulette felt, like, you don't need to be there anymore. But I was up. And they just kept letting me play. And then obviously I gave it all back.
Because they wanted their money back.
I gave it all back.
Let him get drunker.
Yeah. Then it's
like, we'll get our money back.
He'll find his exit once he throws it all away. And sure enough, I did.
That's right.
17 is my number, Roulette. It was just really hot in the beginning.
17, huh?
Yeah, I always play 17. 17 is my number. Mark Grace. Mark Grace wore number 17.
I'm not a roulette guy.
Yeah, I don't like it as much anymore. I'm blackjack craps guy.
You know what I hate about roulette?
What's that?
The green.
You know what's worse?
It comes up, I swear to God, that thing comes up more than red or black.
Nowadays, they've added a second green.
They have?
You get zero and double zero on some places. They're legitimately just robbing us blind. The house advantage is insane when you got two greens.
The best, they say the best odds in the casino are playing craps. Because when you...
Is that right?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Because if you go to a table that's got... like really good odds on to back up your bet on your on the pass line.
Yeah.
You can make some cash.
I love craps.
I do too.
I play a very boring craps, though. I have my.
You don't play any numbers.
I have a system.
He's not doing anything crazy.
No, I mean I.
Jonathan,
I max out what I do, but Jonathan's I play a very boring
not playing
style
hard
craps.
Eight.
No, I would well, no. I don't do fire bets. I don't do anything in the middle that
buy
way.
By the 10, you don't buy the 10?
No.
Always buy the 10, man.
No. Sucker bets. That's sucker bets. That's the parlays of the craps community right there is what you're doing.
Parlay?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what it is. Joshua Dobbs on Baskin and Phelps talked about Deshaun Watson. Here we go. Did I not tell you ahead of time? I didn't tell you ahead of time.
You were like so smooth with that transition.
I thought we had a conversation.
It was like a
I talked with Keith. I didn't talk with Kayla.
It was like a 5 yard out. You threw it perfectly.
It was right on the numbers. You just hit it right in the face.
Just,
I mean, off the shoulder pads. What can you do there?
Hit her in a bad spot.
We had the quick completion. We could get this thing going.
We didn't.
Give me 2 more seconds on Marquise Goodwin. Then what do you got? I like the move.
He's 32 years old.
I'm not going to fall in love with the move, but I like the move. If we didn't have Elijah Moore,
I mean, what?
I'd be devastated.
Again, we got to have depth, right? I mean, Goodwin is a 5'9", 180-pound receiver. He's not going to be an outside guy. He's going to be an inside guy. He's a good possession-type guy. I'm happy about it. He's a veteran.
And they're also not going to rely on him at all.
No.
You know, like if all of a sudden it just doesn't work. Like, here's the thing. If he gets an ankle injury, let's say, God forbid, but let's say he gets an ankle injury and you just don't need him. No part of your expectations are shifted. If Elijah Moore gets an ankle injury, then I'm worried. Then I'm like, oh, no, we were depending on him. We needed him. We had to get him up to speed. We had to get him to a certain place. If Marquise Goodwin gets one, it's not the end of the world. All right. Joshua Dobbs talking about Deshaun Watson, Baskin and Phelps. Here we go.
I think it'd be really good. You know, it'd be good, you know, going to the season with no questions, right, about what's going to happen, what the dynamic's going to be. Everything's laid out in front of us. You know, last year, both of us were new to the scheme, new to the team. So when you got there in April, you know, the first day, like, none of the quarterbacks had been there, right? So, you know, we're learning the offense for the first time and figuring out the right way to teach the SEAL guys and learning the protections, whereas this year, you know it. We've played in it. We both played really well in it. And so now you can really hit the ground running with the whole year under your belt and the offense, understanding the coaches, knowing the players now. I think like that it's going to be a big jump this year. I mean, I'm really excited to see it.
I think the reality is if Josh Dobbs sees the field at all, we're in a bad spot.
It's a problem. It's a problem. I mean, Deshaun Watson's out. I mean, listen, he could twist an ankle, be out for a week or two. We can deal with that. But if Joshua Dobbs is playing considerable snaps, that's a problem.
No question. He's a weekly. This week he's being very generous to join us at 2:40 instead of 3. His name is Jason Pinkston, former Browns offensive lineman. Jason, how you doing today?
What's going on, guys?
Not much. We are reacting. I mean, there's a lot of news within the hour about the Browns. So good time to have you on. Marquise Goodwin, the latest to join the team. Elijah Moore obviously joined earlier in the week. Looks like the Browns are bolstering up the wide receiver room. We thought they would, Jason. Are you surprised that they went this route as opposed to maybe going for a Jerry Jeudy or a DeAndre Hopkins, someone like that?
You know what? I love it. You know, Goodwin's a good player. He was in a similar system that we run here out there with Kyle Shanahan. He brings a nice veteran presence to that meeting room. I absolutely love it. I'm happy the Browns are not spending big money on a big name wide receiver. Those guys are just a little bit older, and I think their price is too high. Outside of Jeudy, you know, I wouldn't give up a first-round pick for him. You know, I'm extremely happy. I love Elijah Moore. I loved him when he was at Ole Miss. He's going to be great for us. I think it's starting to look up. We're starting to shape this thing up, and it's starting to look pretty good for us.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love the moves this week, Jay. I love the Elijah Moore move. I think, to me, trading back – you know what, 30 spots to pick 74, 32 spots.
32, yeah.
Yeah, 32 spots. And you get a receiver instead of having to draft one at 42. I think it makes a lot of sense. To me now, I would say this. I'm curious your thoughts. Like, there's not a lot of excuses for this offense this year, especially in terms of Deshaun Watson's passing game. They got weapons now.
Yeah, I mean, we do have some weapons, and I totally agree with you. I'm not mad at the move they made of, you know, moving back 32 spots. We still can get a good player there, a good, solid, productive player there.
There's no excuse now, man. Now it's time to put it all together and make a run for this and see what we can do. We have a very, very talented offense on paper. If those guys can stay healthy and we can get clicking and win some of these games, I think it's going to be an outstanding year for us.
Yeah, Jason, I don't know what you did as far as for before the free agency period, but seeing the moves they've made, I mean, he's put – it's not Band-Aid on bullet holes. Like, he's done some real moves, Andrew Berry has. Where do you see this team before free agency and after these moves? What kind of impact do you think these moves have been?
I think he's definitely taken notice, you know, of what we needed, the holes we needed to fill. We signed a nice deep defensive tackle for an inside guy who's been a solid guy, and he'll be solid for us. Picked up the defensive end to go opposite of Myles Garrett. I think he's a good player with a lot of upside. You know, it's very clear that they are listening and paying attention and to their team. The moves they've made thus far, I mean, we can argue that we might have had one of the better off seasons throughout the NFL on the players that we picked up and the money we were able to save by not making a panicked, you know, pick or, you know, trading something away that we really didn't want to. So I'm extremely happy with Andrew Berry. I'm extremely happy with him and what he's done so far. I look forward to the draft coming up here. We don't have, you know, a first round pick or a second round pick, but we still have some picks, and it'll be interesting to see if they make any moves there. I'm extremely happy we didn't sell the house to get a big name wide receiver. You know, everyone was talking about OBJ coming back. I don't like that move for what he pulled. You know, I'm glad we stayed away from that, and I look forward to see what's next for us.
Jason, they just re-signed Joshua Dobbs, who was here last year, played a game for Tennessee, late down the stretch there, and of course the Browns bring him back. I mean, it's a fine move, I think. You know, I mean, listen, if he has to play four or five games this year, that's a problem. But do you like the signing?
You know what, I do. I've been watching Joshua Dobbs a lot here. You know, obviously because he was on Steelers for a while. I like that kid. He works hard. He plays well when he's in there. You know, he did win a game in Tennessee. But like you said, I mean, obviously he's no Deshaun Watson. If he has to go in there for four or five games, I don't like it. But I think he'd be able to manage and, you know, maybe win us a game or two. But I think overall it's a solid signing. I mean, at the price now that some of these, you know, these backup quarterbacks are getting, I think it was a fair deal. And it's something that we can work with.
Jason, I got to ask you, I think both sides of the ball, they still have questions, right? Offense, you're wondering about Deshaun Watson. Defense, you're like, did they do enough on the D-line? What's our linebacker situation? Do we have enough within the defensive back room in order to get things done against some of these really talented AFC quarterbacks? In your mind, which side of the ball raises more questions for you?
I mean, I think it would be the defense. I still think we need to add a linebacker. I know that, you know, we had Anthony Walker sign back this year, but I still think we need some depth there. If we add another DB, it sounds like the rumors of the Greg Newsome leaving or being traded is dead for now. But I still think that we could potentially add another defensive tackle or another linebacker or another DB to fill out that room. I think we're in a good place right now with some of the players that we picked up, but there's always still room for an improvement.
Jason, let me ask you, you had an agent, right?
I did. Yes,
okay,
I did.
So you had an agent and you did not have a $250 million deal, if memory serves me correct. No disrespect there, Jason, but like everyone should have an agent, right? What is Lamar doing?
I mean, for me, so I went through three agents. I started with Octagon, then I went to Rosenhaus, and then I end up with Neil Schwartz and Jonathan Feinsgold, and they were the absolute best. I think you do need an agent. You need someone who's going to be able to spark these conversations and pull for you and vouch for you outside of your film that you already have out there and some of the accolades that he already has accomplished. Listen, Lamar Jackson is a great football player. I don't know how he is, you know, business savvy, but, you know, some of these guys do it without an agent. I think Larry Tunzel
didn't have an agent. He just signed his second huge deal or third huge deal. It could be done, but, you know, me, I would prefer, you know, if he had someone representing him that maybe want to sit down and meet with these guys. I think it's all about relationships, too. I think, a lot of these agents, they have good relationships because there's obviously multiple people, players on the team, you know, that where they could get in there and speak on your behalf. And, you know, I don't doubt if he had an agent there's, you know, with a guy who is, you know, very versatile and has a lot of players, you know, he might be, hey, you know, you might want to sign this guy and we can work on this guy of maybe restructuring or helping you guys out on your next signing, whatever the case may be. But I do think an agent is important.
I mean, you're a smart guy, though. Did you ever think like I could just do this by myself?
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
You said he was a smart guy. He's very smart.
I know. I'm like, he's a smart guy.
No, I ain't doing any of that.
Genuinely think he could have been able to do it. I don't know.
My sole focus was just not making Joe Thomas look bad. I was so concerned about just playing good. So I did well, and I didn't make anyone look bad. So I didn't want to have to worry about anything front office or trade related. I did not want to do anything to do with it.
All right, staying with the line then. I know, you know, linemen like to protect their running backs, and they often get a lot of credit if a running back is really good. Is Zeke, in your mind, I don't know what team he's going to end up on, but is Zeke a Hall of Famer?
I don't think he's done enough. I truly don't think he has done enough. I think he had maybe two or three explosive seasons, but, you know, I feel like Dallas kind of ran the legs off of him. And that's the toughest thing about running backs. When you get a really good one and your team's not that great or you're losing first round of playoffs, second round of playoffs, whatever it may be, the hits they take, man, the abuse and beating their body takes, it wears on them. You know, that's my biggest concern with the Browns is that we have so many fantastic players and a Nick Chubb. You know, I don't want to see us waste his good years that he has. You know, I want to see our team be successful. I don't think Zeke has done enough to be a Hall of Fame running back. I do not.
Should we look at the running back situation different, though? Because if we look at Zeke had a really good first 4 years, and then he had what happens to a lot of running backs, where all of a sudden they just – that's too much tread on the tires. They can't do it anymore. Should we look at them in a different light than maybe we look at someone like a Joe Thomas who played for 10 years and was flawless?
I think you have to, because I feel like a running back's window is smaller than an offensive lineman's window, because those, you know, the big guys can still get out there and bang and fight. They're not running, you know, you don't have to worry about their speed or running a 40-yard dash and 4.3 seconds. And, you know, as a running back, that's more noticeable. If you don't have that speed to, you know, to break out and break away from people anymore, you know, they kind of just move on to the next, you know, next best thing. And for Zeke, you know, Pollard was playing very well. He was getting half the carries then. So I think you do have to look at running back, that position, in a different light, because just the beating that their bodies take, you know, you don't really last that long.
Jason Pinkston, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes, and thank you so much.
Absolutely, man. I hope Nick feels a little bit better next week, and, you know, we'll be back on with you guys next week. I appreciate it, guys, as
Thanks.
Always.
Thanks, Jay. Have a good
Sounds
weekend.
Good. Thank you, Jason.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.